Hey guys, welcome to the Layup Lines podcast. I'm your host, Seth Horton, joined as always by Chap the Chap Daddy Chapman.
It's good to be back.
All right, guys. That felt weird. I'm so used to having multiple people in the recording studio that I just said guys. Yeah. So it was just hard.
I thought you were talking to like the audience.
Yeah. I was going to try to pass that off. And then I just decided, you know what? I'm gonna address the elephant in the room. The elephant being that there's only two of us in here.
Yeah.
So, all right. First off, we're gonna talk a little college basketball. Not the college basketball you think we're gonna talk about here on Layup Lines, a Union University sports podcast.
We will get to that.
We'll get to that. But first, we're gonna talk a little bit of Duke versus Kentucky because, oh my gosh, what?
Okay, all of that hype Duke was getting in the offseason that was subsequently like cooled down by the polls coming out and Duke being fourth or fifth in most of the polls. No, all of that hype was legit. They should have been number one. They might go undefeated this year.
100%. I mean, they went up against Kentucky, who was ranked, number one?
Number two.
Number two. They were ranked number two, and Duke squashed them 118 points. To 84. RJ Barrett, 33 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds. Zion Williamson, 28 points, 2 assists, 7
28
rebounds.
Points on 11 for 13 from the field,
on
mind 11 you.
11 for 13. Cam Reddish, 22 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds. And also, let's not forget the unsung hero, Javon Delaurier, 12 minutes, 3 rebounds, no points.
I will reiterate this. I told Seth earlier, he was unsung, but I'm just not buying the hero part. I'm sorry, bud.
He's an unsung hero.
He would not have gotten minutes if it weren't for so much garbage time existing in that game.
It's fine. It's fine. Whatever. You're wrong. It's okay. It's fine. All right. So here's the question of the day. Really the question of the NBA season. And that is Duke just a better basketball team than the Cleveland Cavaliers sans Kevin Love?
If Duke and Cleveland merged right now without Kevin Love in the picture, they would produce 3 or 4 of the 5 starters. I think he'll have a better career than George Hill, but obviously he's 18 years old right now.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if he'll have a better career than George Hill. I have watched almost none of him.
He's the highest IQ point guard, in my opinion, in this class, and I don't think it's super close.
So if we merge these two teams, point guard, we have Colin Sexton. Shooting guard, RJ Barrett. Fair?
Yeah.
All right. Small forward.
Cam Reddish.
Cam Reddish. Power forward, Zion Williamson. Center, Tristan Thompson.
Yes. However, that being said, that makes it seem like Duke is going to win that game. And I think just a 5-on-5, like to 21, I would favor Duke just ever so slightly.
They're also coached by Coach K.
Yeah. But in a full 40 or 48 minute game, what have you.
That's fair.
Duke, like,
the rookie wall is coming.
Do what?
The rookie wall will come.
Yeah. It's just the bench, really, because the Cavs have 10 guys coming off the bench who are professional basketball players.
That's
Duke
fair.
Doesn't have anyone coming off the bench who's going to be more than like an overseas play for 5 or 10 years.
So starters versus starters.
Starters versus starters, I think it's pretty close. I'll take Duke slightly.
Yeah, I think that's
the
fair.
Cavs would win an actual game because they would also have such a massive Duke. Advantage.
5-on-5, I'm taking Duke actual game, Cavs. That's super fair. You know what's not fair at all?
What's not fair at all?
Jokic got fined. When was it? Was it Thursday night?
Yeah.
No, it was not because tonight is Thursday night. Being recorded Thursday night, November 8th.
Yeah,
he got
fined November 7th for a game that happened like over a week ago.
Yeah,
after the game against the Bulls, Nikola Jokic was asked about Wendell Carter and the matchup against him.
Junior,
Wendell Carter Jr. Yes,
it's important.
Whatever, Seth. You better start calling me Chap the Chap Daddy Chapman the second then. If you're really going to put so much emphasis on a suffix, but I'll let it go this time.
All right, continue.
Jokic was asked about the matchup against Wendell Carter Jr., and he said, quote, "No homo, but that guy is a lot longer than you think." Obviously, he meant wingspan, of course.
Yeah.
We can clearly only assume.
Yeah. It was, yeah. That's just kind of funny. But he got fined. How much did he get fined?
$25,000. It was the same fine that Kyrie Irving got for throwing the ball into the stands.
Oh, you want us to just propel straight into that, don't you, buddy?
I forgot we were even talking about it. It was just a correlation. Man, I'm doing...
What a segue.
I'm doing these segues without even thinking about it now, Seth. Dude, I've been doing this podcast for over a year.
Basically, audience, if you haven't figured this out yet, we're going to be talking about Kyrie throwing the ball into the stand. And it's a courtroom situation. So... Welcome to court. Kyrie Irving versus Jamal Murray.
This is a, as Seth put it, double jeopardy situation. We're putting Kyrie and Jamal both on trial.
Okay, so here's the thing. First, we're going to take Jamal Murray. All right? He was having a great night against the Celtics, which he was. Like, he was having a fantastic night, and he decided to go for 50, or at least try to go for 50. Which I have no problem with him trying to go for 50. My problem is that he shot a buzzer beater.
With an 8-point lead?
With an 8-point lead.
While the Celtics were already walking to the bench.
Yeah. No one was guarding him. He had 48
points at this point. He was trying to get. Because there's been, what, 5 players or something this season who have had 50-point games. And that's like a big milestone. And he might not ever get that opportunity again. Derrick Rose didn't do it.
He will.
Derrick Rose didn't do it until this year, and he was an MVP.
Yeah, but we're not allowed to play defense in the NBA anymore this year.
That's fair.
So.
He will probably get there again, but, I mean, that type of situation is so rare.
Yeah, which is, and I get it. I get going for 50, but don't be cheap about it.
Yeah. I think it was an indication that he cares a little bit too much about stats.
Yes.
And not enough about winning and, just unwritten rules, the more purest side of basketball, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And I saw a lot of lashback at, Kyrie not liking him pulling that move. On the internet, a lot of people were saying things like, this is the new way that basketball is played. Nobody cares about the unwritten rules anymore. Get over yourself. It's antiquated. Go for your stats. I am sad.
I am too. I would have had a lot melancholic bigger even. Problem with it, though, if he would have just, gone in and taken an uncontested layup to get to 50. That would have been a lot cheaper. I don't know. I'm going to, for Murray, I'm going to say not guilty.
Really?
Yeah.
I say he's guilty.
But your guilty is probably a lot stronger than my not guilty. So we can collectively call him guilty.
He's guilty of breaking the unwritten rules of basketball sportsmanship. When the clock is winding down, when there's no shot clock, your lead is secure and no one is playing defense on you. Everyone's going back to the bench. You dribble it out.
Yeah.
Point blank period. Unless you're Kobe... And it's your last game of your career. That's the only time that it's acceptable. Not that he didn't do that.
Yeah, he didn't.
I'm just
saying. He got to 60 with a minute and a half left in that game. And that's another thing. Jamal Murray had 48 for the last 2.5 minutes of that game. If he wanted 50 that bad, go get 50 on the floor where it counts.
So I'm saying guilty, and I'm sentencing him to not scoring 50. This season.
Okay.
He can score 48 2-3 more times. He's not making it to 50.
That's fair.
All right.
I'm fine with that sentencing. What about Kyrie?
So Kyrie's response to this kind of, chump move of just jacking up a three at the buzzer when everyone's walking back to the bench was to take that ball and just fling it into the stands out of anger.
Yeah.
Well, I understand his anger. I get it. Also, you're a professional. Be a professional.
Yeah. There's two offenses here. There's the offense of taking away Jamal Murray's game ball for the best game of his career to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamal Murray would have wanted to have that ball.
Yes.
And also you're just throwing a ball up into the stands where you could hurt someone.
Yes. Which I think the first offense I don't find to be entirely convincing, just because I think Jamal Murray not getting the game ball back is
a pretty fair punishment.
Yeah, it's a sufficient punishment for being a douche. I think Kyrie throwing the ball into the stands where it could have hurt someone, or just the fact that you're not supposed to do that in the NBA. Like, that, it's a rule, you don't throw balls into the stands.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to say guilty on this one. As much as it pains me and as much as I understand why he was angry about it, throwing the ball into the stands, guilty.
Yeah. Agreed.
Punishment, $25,000 fine by the NBA.
Yeah. That was a situation where I certainly didn't think he deserved a full game suspension. But if it was like colleges or something where you can do like a one-half suspension, I think that would have been a fair punishment.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Ooh, before we get into... I was about to go into trash talk game ball, but then I remembered Terry Rozier. So here's the thing, audience.
Terry Rozier is frustrated with his role with the Celtics.
No, he's not.
That's the rumors, at very least.
There you go.
And there's rumors that he allegedly might want out. But Seth's on his phone over here. I think he has some breaking news about this situation.
Well, here's the thing. First, I want to say, quote by Terry Rozier, "I go from starting in the playoffs to coming off the bench. I'm sure it's not easy for nobody, but I'm not complaining," unquote. So he's not complaining. It's a rough situation. He understands that. But also, he knows he's not the starting point guard.
Right.
Period.
He's frustrated, but not upset with anyone specifically.
Yes. Now, here's the breaking news. Danny Ainge will never trade Terry Rozier. Ever.
The New Orleans Pelicans could offer Anthony Davis straight up. And they could offer Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday and Nikola Mirotić, and Danny Ainge wouldn't bite.
Absolutely. So that's your breaking news for this week. Now, trash talk game ball. Game ball, going to the new stats program for Union University basketball.
This new stats program is just so much better than it was last year. Go to uuathletics.com and go to like just any game on the schedule for basketball and just click live stats. It's absolutely beautiful. We've got plus minus now. We've got efficiency ratings, usage percentages, and then there's even my favorite part of this whole thing. We have a shot chart at this point, and we can look at both teams' shot charts. We can look at individual teams. We can look at individual players. I wasn't able to watch either of the games this weekend, but I was keeping up with them live on live stats, and I saw Tiffany Reaches hit three threes from the left corner, like, immediately. It's just super, super helpful and a really good resource, especially for guys like us who love analytics.
Absolutely.
I can't believe they have it in Division II.
You are just nerding out over this, and I completely understand why, and I, too, also would be nerding out over this if I knew how to work technology whatsoever, which I don't. Speaking of this new stats program and Union University basketball, Union University basketball is back. Let's talk about that. The girls Saturday? Yes, Saturday, November 3rd at 12 p.m. played Martin Methodist College #. And they won 87-56.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great win. Great win. Could have looked a little bit better towards the end. I think we started off very, very strong, but towards the end, it kind of tapered off.
I think
off
it was
a
like
bit.
A 33-10 first quarter or something. Which, like.
But, like, when you come out that strong.
You understand you're playing a weaker opponent. You're not going to be going at full game speed towards the end of the game.
Totally understandable.
I talked to Jada Smith and Coach Campbell both a couple of days after the game, and they both acknowledged that they thought they definitely could have and probably should have played better towards the end. But I mean, it's Martin Methodist. They will improve throughout the season. And they've only had, like, 3 full weeks of practicing because of the new NCAA rules. So,
also, I just want to know, is this, like, is this a new thing that we're doing with the hashtags and stuff? Because we got Martin Methodist College hashtag for the girls. And then I switch over to the guys, and it was Louisiana Tech hashtag, Freed Hardeman University hashtag, and then like Spring Hill College exclamation point, Lemoyne Owen College exclamation point. So is this just a thing we're doing now, or just adding punctuation onto the end of colleges?
Here's the thing, Seth. Look at the legend there at the top. Hashtag means exhibition, and exclamation point means Gulf South Conference. SIAC conference crossover challenge.
Well, here's the thing, chap. You know how I told you that I don't know how to do technology?
Yes.
Yeah, I also don't know how to read, so... Anyway. Moving on.
About the athletic website.
Yeah, about the athletic
the
website.
The girls won 87-57. Or 56, excuse me. We're very confident in that.
We're 100% confident. The guys played Freed Hardeman University and either won 87-56 also, or they won 74-69, or they won 74-67.
Okay, I have a new update on this situation.
Okay.
I clicked on the live stats link for the men's basketball team. That one said they won 74-68. So
what?
I believe that was correct because I talked to, I believe it was Logan Whaley on the phone after, and he said it was a 6-point game. So I'm almost sure that one's correct. And then they just got the score 1 point off in either direction on the press release and also on the schedule, just copy and pasted the girls' score.
I am just all kinds of
frustrated.
Confused.
Yeah, I don't understand how we have like a shot chart and usage percentage and stuff like that and just cannot seem to get the final score correct in any of 3 places that it's listed.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand. I don't understand anything. That's fine. And I will say this. This was actually like the men's basketball game versus Freed Hardeman was one of the best games I've watched in the Fred DeLay, actually.
Really?
Yeah. No, it was amazing. Just, so, here's the thing. One, Samity, my boy, is a shot-blocking machine. Really? Also, he got a lot of rebounds. So, like, that was great. Also, Tyree, friend of the pod, also occasional co-host of the pod, played very well. He ended up with, I think it was 19 points.
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, 19 points.
Yeah, I can't
shot
find
9
stats,
for 10 so. From the line, 5 for 10 from the field. Just a solid game. And he didn't hit a 3 in that game. He was 0 for correct. 5 from 3.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those will start falling. Yeah. Usually in a given game, he'll hit about 2 for 5. So that brings it up to 25 points if he has a normal shooting game.
Yeah. Bryson Butler was not eligible to play. He is now eligible.
He is?
Yeah.
Okay.
As of yesterday or 2 days? Yeah, yesterday. As of yesterday, the NCAA declared him eligible to play.
Good.
He tweeted about it. I asked him to come on to the pod. And then he was like, yeah, we're out of town for the weekend. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. First regular season action coming up this weekend for both the men's and women's squads.
Yeah. He'll be on next week, or at least he said he'll be on next week. So
awesome.
I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully he's on next week. Also,
they have freed BB5.
I believe it was Tylandrius Parks or Tyrandis Smith. I don't remember which one it was. But one of them came back for a put-back dunk, and it was beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like somebody missed a shot, and the guy just rises up, grabs the ball, and just hammers it down.
That's fun.
It was beautiful. And then 2 plays later, on the other side of the court, he got absolutely dunked on.
Okay.
It was absolutely...
So it was a give-and-take situation.
it was a give-and-take situation.
However, I actually respect a guy that gets dunked on forcefully because that means they're trying on defense.
We've talked about this. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing to watch a man play defense. Gosh, they were good games. Were good games. Chap, I wish you'd have been there.
I wish I would have too. But the girls in their first regular season game, they've got Barry, which is going to be really good. And then they also play Nova Southeastern. So that'll be two good tests early on in the season, ranked second in the coaches' poll and I believe fourth in the media poll.
And then they'll be back here at the Fred DeLay Thursday, November 15th, to take on Central State University. Yep. The guys will be back also on November 14th, but playing Cumberland University.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that. That'll be fun.
And the girls have three straight games at home every other day, Thursday, Saturday, then Monday. That'll be very, very fun.
All right. Well, trash talk. Got through the game ball. Got through things attached to the game ball. A little bit of trash talk. Ladies and gentlemen, the University of Florida got absolutely wrecked by the Missouri Tigers.
Yeah. Missouri had not won an SEC game before that. I don't understand most teams in the East right now.
I don't understand most teams in college football right now.
That's fair. I'm confident in approximately two teams, and one of them I'm only a little bit confident in.
I'm confident in three teams. Only, so here's the thing. I'm confident that Alabama is great. I'm confident that Clemson is going to get into the college football playoffs, that's regardless fair. Of whether they belong there or not.
Right.
And I'm also very confident that Vandy is not good. So
I am confident in Bama, and then I'm like, I think I'm confident in Michigan this year.
I don't know. I haven't kept up enough with Michigan to really say. I don't know. It's been a confusing year for football. Yeah. It's been a confusing year. I mean, the Missouri Vandy Tigers beat Florida 38-17. Vandy
almost beat two different playoff contenders.
Yeah. Wait, who was the second? It was Notre Dame and whom?
Kentucky. Controlled their own destiny up until last week.
Yeah. So. Gosh, what a thing Kentucky has been. Oh, well. So, yeah, Drew Locke went 24 for 32, 250 yards, three touchdowns, and Florida just kind of didn't do that at all.
Yeah, Florida is built around their defense, obviously. So if they give up those type of stats to the quarterback and give up points, they're not going to win games even under Dan Mullins.
Gosh darn it. Also, they gave up 114 yards rushing to Demaria Crockett. And then 72 to Larry Rountree the third.
Anyone who gives up 100-plus yards rushing to someone named Demaria Crockett does not deserve to be in the SEC.
Yeah.
I don't care how good he is. If that is his name, you don't deserve to be in the SEC.
Yeah. No, it was... It just was not good. Like, Missouri got out ahead at the beginning of the game and just never gave up the lead after that. So... Yeah, it happens. It happens. Weekly Grit Award?
Weekly Grit Award.
Going to my boy, my savior of the season, Deebo Samuel.
Deebo ran back the opening kickoff for a touchdown in the game against Ole Miss, and then South Carolina went on to win that game by 4 points, and it looks like Seth is going to narrowly avoid frosted tips.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It feels good.
I'm feeling confident in my lack of frosted tips as well. Darius Garland balled out the other day. I feel fine. It looks like neither of us will get frosted tips.
We'll see. You gotta wait until we get into the season to really say that. Because, like...
That's fair.
I get it. Like, I thought the same thing with South Carolina. I was like, psh, there's no way. And then South Carolina just wasn't nearly as good as I thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
And the East was so much better than I thought it was going to be.
The East isn't bad at all this year.
It's insane.
Because,
It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, Florida upset LSU. Kentucky's been good. Tennessee upset Auburn. Vandy, it took a miraculous game from Notre Dame to beat Vandy. Mm-hmm. Like,
you mentioned a team beating Vandy. There's another team that's supposed to beat Vandy this coming week. Well, who are they?
The Missouri Tigers.
The Missouri Tigers, who just destroyed Florida.
I can buy into Missouri being a favorite in this game. Like, 7.5 points.
But maybe. You know, here at Layup Lines, we don't pick favorites.
We don't pick favorites.
In fact, we have a segment completely devoted to not picking favorites.
Vandy is going to upset Missouri this week. We're 14-point underdogs going on the road. Here's the thing. Vandy's season is on the line. We need to win two of these last three games between Missouri, Ole Miss, and Tennessee to make it to a bowl game. And we all know Derek Mason is best when the season is on the line. Derek Mason coaches well in high-pressure situations. And
it's a shame he doesn't coach well in any other situations.
Derek Mason is a good football coach who happens to be coaching the Vanderbilt Commodores. That's
fair
my
enough.
Take on the situation. Fair and enough. He's grown a lot as a coach over the last several years. I like Vandy's odds in this game. Kyle Shermer, I think, will have a very, very nice game. And I think our defense, especially our secondary, is good enough to slow down Drew Locke enough.
How many points did you say that was?
It's 14, which is just way too much.
Yeah, I get that. And you're up on me by about 4 points.
Yes.
So
that's
fair enough.
My take on the situation. Fair enough. He's grown a lot as a coach over the last several years. I like Vandy's odds in this game. Kyle Shermer, I think, will have a very, very nice game. And I think our defense, especially our secondary, is good enough to slow down Drew Locke enough.
How many points did you say that was?
It's 14, which is just way too much.
Yeah, I get that. And you're up on me by about 4 points.
Yes.
So I'm going with Ole Miss over Texas A&M. Why? Because it's 13-point difference.
Ole Miss can score with anyone.
Yeah. We being South Carolina, barely got beat by Texas A&M, and then we barely beat Mississippi.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where either of those games for South Carolina could have gone either way, which leads me to believe that this game should be a close game.
And also, A&M seems to have lost their mojo to a degree.
Also true.
They lost
They started out the season
close
pretty
game
hot.
Against Auburn. Yeah, they lost a close game against Auburn last week. And I feel like Jimbo Fisher teams usually, if they get in a bad spot, they don't usually respond very well. You'll see some Jimbo Fisher teams going 12-0 or what have you, but you don't really often see those 10-2 type teams out of him where they respond well late in the season.
I think these are good picks. I think both of these are good picks, actually. We'll see what happens. Hopefully you lose.
Yeah, hopefully you lose.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, guys, that's our show. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully we'll be joined by Bryson Butler.
Good kid.
All right. We'll see you guys later.